Good evening, everybody. It's another Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. I can't, I'm not gonna even complain because I'm like, man, I survived Monday and I survived this morning. So, whoo. Hi, sissy. I hope you feel better, boo-boo. If we can pray for my sister, she hasn't been feeling too well. And so, if you can lift her up, we will sincerely appreciate it. And so, I'm gonna jump right into this message. I'm a quick prayer, because we need the Lord. You're taking your COVID test? Yes. Oh, sissy. Oh, I love you. Oh, you logged on and you're taking your COVID test. God bless you, boo. You're such a soldier. You know what? I was gonna, and you know what, you're a part of this message. I can't wait for you to hear this message because you are an example of people who make the inconveniences that they're experiencing and still push for God. And God bless you, boo boo. And I've definitely, I prayed for you earlier, but I will continue to pray for you and that God would heal you miraculously. Okay. Lord God, we thank you so much for tonight. We know that you are with us because you are our God and you order our steps according to your will and your purposes. And we thank you for you, Lord. We appreciate you. And we ask for you to come in, Holy Spirit, and do what you do. Do what you want for your kingdom, for your glory, and for your honor. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. And so, guys, this message is, who are you after church? Just like I was saying before we had prayed, my sister is definitely an example of the positive side of this message, not feeling good at all. She is really not feeling well. And she's out there getting a COVID test, and here she is logging on to hear this podcast because of her commitment to God. You see, when our commitment, when our love, when our faithfulness, when our loyalty is to God, there's things inside of us, we just gonna make it work. You hear me? It is what it is, and we're gonna do what we gotta do. And that's the positive side of this message. And I always want everyone to be encouraged because we do live in times where there is so much discouragement, there is so much darkness, there is so much negativity, there's so much just all of that, right? And so I do want folks to be able to come here and feel loved, feel respected, and also feel encouraged. But I want you guys to always know that I'm being held accountable, just like you're being held accountable. You know what I'm saying? We are all in this together, and none of us are like more special than the other one, because the Bible says God has no favorites, right? What he does is he accepts the worship of the genuine hearts. If God doesn't accept your worship, check your heart. If he accepts your worship, it's because of your heart. Has nothing to do with you white, she black, this one green, that one's yellow, this one's rich, this one's poor. God don't care about none of that. He cares about your heart. And so I just want to, go ahead and just jump right into, like, well, I'm already in the message. I might as well continue, right? Hey, Sean, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining tonight. So the message is who you are after church. So many people are, let's just keep it real, are full of it. They on Sunday, right, amongst your peers, is praise God, hallelujah, and all these other cliches that you pick up in the church, and it's just like the norm, right? It's just another club in a sense of a social club, not necessarily a party club, but a social club, you know what I mean? And it is not a place of worship. The church is supposed to be God's household. It's supposed to be a place of worship. And when God is worship and when he is honored and he is at the right You know, he's at his rightful place. That's when healing, that's when deliverance, that's when transformation really takes place, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when we don't have God in his rightful place, we won't see people's lives transform. We won't see healings. We won't see miraculous deliverance. We won't see miracles, because God is not at his rightful place. And so we want God to do all these things, but we don't want to do our part. And so today was funny. Somebody had posted something earlier and I started laughing, you know, because I'm not going to say too much about it because I don't want to embarrass the person. You know what I mean? I always want to respect, you know, whatever. But the bottom line is that the person had posted this thing about God and yada, yada, right? And I said to myself after I post the post, because I said, you know, God is a God who restores. You know what I'm saying? And so if you have not been restored, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. That comes from the Bible. That doesn't come from me. And so the Lord immediately showed me, everybody's a Christian until it's time to pick up your cross. Everybody is a Christian, right? Until it's time to pick up your cross. When it's time to suffer, and nobody wants to suffer, right? Who in the world wants to suffer? Nobody. But if you're truly committed to him, if you're truly banging with him, if you're truly his child, he says he chastises those who he loves, right? And the chastisement produces perseverance. And perseverance produces other fruits, right? So these things are biblical. These things are things that will happen in our lives. Are they pleasant? No. And quite honestly, I have a tender heart when righteous people go through things, because I feel that, you know what, they don't deserve it. They did everything right. They're doing everything that God can possibly ask. And so my heart is more tender, because I come from both. I come from the pit of hell, and I've been living with the Lord for 20 years now. So I understand both, you know, it's like both households in a sense, right? And I'm not going to lie to you. I don't like seeing righteous people go through things, because I feel like they don't deserve it. But the Bible says that it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous, and that both of us will go through things, that both of us will experience setbacks. We will experience pain and suffering, and we will experience unfair things and tragedies. We will experience those things. The difference for the righteous is that we will experience those things with the Lord. Because we are in right standing with him, he has an obligation to us. He is our Father, right? He is our Heavenly Father, but he is also our God. He is the Lord God. The Bible is so awesome. I love when they emphasize the Lord God, especially in the Old Testament. They would be like, the Lord God said, you know what I'm saying? And once they released that prophecy and said, like, the Lord God said, that was it. You feel me? Like, it was like, yo, did you just heard they said? And you don't need no co-signing to that. You don't need nobody backing it up. It was like, yo, the Lord said, you feel me? And so we need to get back to that. You know, we need to get back to, you know what? What type of Christian am I? You know what I'm saying? When I'm home, when the pastor isn't around, where the prayer group is not here, when the deacons or the deaconess or however the setup is in the church, how am I at home? How do I treat people in my neighborhood? What do I say behind closed doors with my family? The people who I can really be naked in front of emotionally and mentally. How do I talk about other races? What do I say about these people behind closed doors, right? Because guess what? It's your salvation that's being jeopardized. It's not my salvation. It's not Sean's. It's not my sister Lillian's. It's yours. It's your salvation. And so you are the one who has the power. You're the one who has the ability to make a decision what type of Christian I'm going to be after church. Because that is what is going to determine whether you enter into the kingdom or whether you do not. We all can be holy amongst our peers, but can we be that at home? Can we be that at our jobs? Can we be that on the road when we're driving and nobody sees our thoughts but God and us? Now, I'm not talking about our road rage people. I feel you. I understand. I got another sister. She be having some issues on the road. But her heart is good. You hear me? Her heart is good. But I'm talking about, you know, the racist things that we say. Okay? Let's face it. Let's talk about the things that we say to our children. The names and the disrespect and the disregard that we say unto them, our spouses, the people who we live with, our tone, our mannerism. It's very interesting how, I'm gonna share this with you guys. Again, I'm not gonna, you know, put people's names out there and stuff like that because, you know, I want to respect everybody's privacy, okay? But I had an encounter last week with someone that was very interesting. And one of the things I always pay attention to is when people talk about their Christianity or they talk about the gifting that they have in the Holy Spirit. You know, they want to be, you know, lifted up to the sky with Jesus. You know what I mean? These people are religious. And so it's very interesting how their mannerism is. You know what I mean? They're trying to fill me out to see how much of the Bible I know. And I'm looking at their spirit because the Bible says you judge the people by the fruit that they bear. They're judging me by the mind and the knowledge of how much of God's word I know. And I'm judging them by the fruit that they bear because that's what the Bible says. And so as soon as I see that, I don't see the mannerism of the Holy Spirit. I don't see any fruit. I don't see any love. I don't see any kindness. I don't see any selflessness. I don't see any patience. I don't see any long suffering. I don't see any of those fruits. I don't see the perseverance. I don't see the delicacy and the gentleness of the Holy Spirit. I know that that person is not connected to the Lord. Now, I can't say if they receive salvation, right? Because I have no idea. But what I can tell you is that they don't have the characteristic of the Holy Spirit according to the word of God. And so the Bible doesn't say judge them by how much Bible they know. The Bible says judge them by the fruit that they bear, meaning how they live. When you live with the Holy Spirit, you're producing fruit on a regular basis because you're constantly, constantly planting, developing, cultivating. You are growing. So there should be fruit in your walk, not words just telling a story. You feel me? It's kind of like what we talked about last week. You know, people could tell all the stories they want, but it's not a testimony unless it's been dipped in the blood, right? It's the same thing here. When I come against religious people, God bless them. You know what I'm saying? God bless them. Because who am I to tell you that you're wrong? Who am I? I'm a human being. I'm not here to tell you if you're wrong. I'm not here to tell you if you're right. What I'm here to tell you is what the Bible says. I'm here to tell you what the Bible says. I'm not here to argue. I'm not here to debate. I'm not here to tell you about your grandmother was going to church for 50 years and now you, God bless your grandmother. You feel me? God bless you. But at the end of the day, how do you live after church? You feel me? What do you do after church? Because you know what I'm saying? Yes, sis. I mean, oh no, that's Sean. Cussing folks out in the name of the King. Okay, we got to get it together. And then my sister says some rotten fruit this week. Shaking my head. I feel you, sis. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's definitely, don't get me wrong. You know, it's a balance in Christ. It's definitely a balance because God deals with imperfect people, right? So God understands the balance of our development. That's why we have grace. It's all about your heart. It's all about your willingness. It's all about your ability to submit to him and be willing and to be obedient. And everybody's at different levels. Everybody, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have tremendous patience, but I have zero tolerance. You feel what I'm saying? Mommy live up here with a lot of old peoples. She live with a lot of old peoples, okay? And woo-wee! Some of them, I gotta remind myself, like, Kira, you cannot fight old peoples. You know what I mean? That person is 80. You is wrong. I had to check myself because I'm serious. Like, some of these people, oh my God, I have to be like, Lord, you know what I'm saying? Help me with my flesh, because I'll be really ready to start swinging on these people. You know I'm wrong. And the only thing that saves me is because I know I'm wrong. You know what I'm saying? I know it. So I just back up and carry myself a different direction, because I know you ain't supposed to be fighting no 80-year-old. I'm not going to hell over no 80-year-old. You feel me? So let me back up. You know what I'm saying? But no, but I'm serious. I was thinking about this because, again, and another experience had happened. And so, you know, when I saw this person, when they came from, you know, after church, and we're talking about church and their experience and everything, it made me realize, like, what really happens after the church service and what God sees. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, He wants you. He wants you. He desires you. He created you for purpose. And one of the purposes is to love you and for you to experience Him in a way that no one else will be able to experience Him. And He wants you to be able to have that intimacy with Him. But like anything else, you know, God has to be at His place. You know what I'm saying? We hear it all the time on Facebook, right? Or on social media. Oh, you know, if the person's not treating them the way they deserve, right? I know my worth. You feel me? Right? They be saying, I know my worth. Well, God knows His worth as well. And He asks His people to have the fear of the Lord, which is respect, right? And He asks us to keep it real. He asks us to come to Him and tell Him the truth about how we feel. I don't know why people find that so hard. Let me back up, because that's not true. I understand that it's not easy to tell God the dark parts of our hearts, because I remember the Holy Spirit just reminded me that I remember when, you know, 20 years ago, like the Holy Spirit started to teach me how to pray and to be able to pray during the watchman hours and just pray, you know, in general. And it was very uncomfortable for me to talk to Him about my dark parts of my heart. Because I confess to y'all, you know, a part of my character defect is my temper. I have a temper, and I have a violent temper. Like, whew. Yes, when I'm angry, I'm angry. Yo, that's how my butt went to prison. You know what I'm saying? Because unfortunately, I have picked up some unhealthy things, you know, allowing a lot of stuff to build up. So when I say something, I'm talking with my hands. And it's so aggressive because I've allowed too much to take place before, you know, now I'm saying something, you know what I mean? Of course, now, you know, obviously different, you know, got counseling in the Lord and, you know, but I still have a temper. I still have a violent nature, no doubt about it. And I have to watch myself because of the fact that this is a part of my weakness. You know what I'm saying? And so I say that to you guys because I want you to understand that I'm not talking to you based on some baloney crap, you know, based on some stuff that I myself don't live. You know what I'm saying? I hate when people do that. I don't like when people do that to me, and I'm not going to do that to you guys. I'm never going to tell you to live a certain way if I'm not doing it. How hypocritical is that? You feel me? And so, no. If it's good for me, it's good for you. If it's good for you, it's good for me. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, we are in this together. We are the body of Christ. And I just want to give you time tonight just to think about it. To think about how you really are within your own heart. and to encourage you and support you, to let you know it's okay to go to God about it. Because if we don't go to God about our darkness, it will destroy us. And I say this seriously. Seriously, it will destroy you. It not only will it destroy you from being the person and all the blessings that God has for you, but your eternal soul, your household, don't you know, your children, your spouses, the people you love, the people that matter to you, it will impact them. It's an affection. It will touch them. You know what I'm saying? And so it is so important that you go to God, even if you have to write your prayers out on paper to be able to, express your emotions, however you want to do it. But cleanse your heart before the Lord and to the Lord before. You see what I'm saying? Pride, what they say? Before destruction, pride is there, right? So humble yourselves and tell the Lord the truth. If you got jealousy, tell him the truth. If you got a murderous spirit, tell him the truth. If you got this or you got that, tell him the truth. There are other sins that we can go to hell for other than homosexuality. I am so tired of hearing about homosexuality. There are other sins other than homosexuality. Read the Bible. And I'm saying this seriously, because I, like I confessed to you guys, I have issues with anger. You see what I'm saying? And if I don't check that, guess where I'm going? Straight to hell. I don't get no pass. I have to bow before the Lord just like anybody else. And in fact, I'm held more accountable because I'm called. And I have a responsibility to God, not to you guys, to God. You feel me? And I bang with the Lord. I want him to be proud of me. I want him to know that I appreciate him. In spite of all the things I've been through in the Lord, I love my God. I want him to know that when you came into that prison cell 20 years ago, I appreciated you. I appreciated you then, and I appreciate you now. Things happen. Tragedies happen. They are hurtful. They're painful. And they hurt us deeply. But God is the one who can heal us. He is the one who can bandage our wounds. He is the one who honestly has the power. And quite honestly, he's the one who loves us. He's the one who loves us to know that, you know what? I see her suffering. I see him suffering. If he calls out to me, if she calls out to me, if she just turns from her wicked ways, if he just surrenders to me, I will take care of them. That's all he's looking for you to do, is one act, and he will do everything else. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, he will. But you have a kingdom of darkness who will fight you on every level. It is. Woo. You don't know how much I had to pray just to get on this podcast tonight. But guess what? Your Christ Jesus, your God and Savior, kicked that kingdom's butt a long time ago. So you have the power through Christ Jesus to cause havoc on this earth floor for the kingdom of heaven. You team up with your God. He trains you, he equips you, and he always has your back, and you do what you got to do for the kingdom of heaven. You feel me? And so this guy, Brian, I don't know if you guys heard of him. He's the leader for Kingdom Music. And I love what he says. He says, keep it kingdom. You know what I'm saying? That's the difference between what's going on now in our generation. You got Christians and you have kingdom Christians. And the kingdom Christians are the ones who are more like Christ. They have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They operate the power of the Holy Spirit. And they have the image of Christ in them because of going through the fire. like I said to you earlier, everybody can be a Christian until it's time to pick up their cross, right? And that's what separates the Christian from a kingdom Christian. And is it easy? No. Do you want to give up? Heck yeah. Okay, you did. You're going to want to give up. Who would? You feel me? And so I want to just definitely just throw that out to you tonight. Just remember, you know, it's your salvation. It's the people that you're influencing around, meaning your immediate family. And the fruit that you have in your spirit is passed out. It definitely passed on to the people around you, right? And you know what? When I'm not feeling the best, I'm quiet. Because I don't want to release negativity in the atmosphere. You see what I'm saying? Especially in my home. Especially, I got to stress that to you. Especially in my house. My house is the only place that I can get a touch of heaven. And I don't want to contaminate it with the world's filth. I don't want the world's wisdom. I don't want the world's counselment. I don't want the world. I don't want any of the worldly things in my house. Because that's my only haven of peace. That's my place where I can break down, fall to the feet of God, cry out if I need to. Or jump and shout and worship if I need to. My home is my sanctuary. So no, not everybody is invited. You will never see me invite you into my house unless God leads me to invite you or you're my immediate inside circle, which is predominantly my two sisters. And so, and their families, their husbands and their children. That's really all I got is my two sisters. And their husbands and their children. And so those are the only people, not only they're welcome at any time they want, but they can live, they can have whatever I have. These two women and their families mean everything to me. And so outside of that, I'm very cautious of letting people in my house. I really mean that. And so I say that to you too. Guard your spirit, guard your mind, you know, especially when you're making changes for God. And then I'm just going to answer a couple questions. You said, what's the root of the anger spirit? Is it fear? Well, you know what, sis? I think a part of the anger spirit is definitely a demonic spirit. And it does have, some people say it is fear. I don't believe it's necessarily fear, because sometimes you'll have a righteous anger. Our Christ had a righteous anger, and we know no fear was in him. But I believe also too, there is also a demonic spirit attached to that, not from the Lord, because we know he was pure, but things that's been like transformed into our spirits from generation to generation. So I believe that it's a demonic spirit, but you also remember, if it's a righteous anger, that's different. You know what I'm saying? If it's a retaliatory anger and, you know what I'm saying? Because you want to get vengeance, and we already know what that's about, because, you know, God, you know, says vengeance is the Lord's, right? But so basically to answer your question, I don't believe it's necessarily rooted in fear, but I believe it's a demonic entity. And it's also in some instances a stronghold for some folks like myself. You see what I'm saying? And then let me see, bro, you said you saw how much your fool was acting. I feel you, bro. Amen. My brother was sharing how, getting blacked out drunk, blasting my ex-wife on Facebook because of her lying and cheating. And God brought him through all of that. He still is work in progress, and every day he's trying to serve him to do his will. That's what it's about, Sean. That's exactly what it's about. It is about, oh my goodness, you know what I'm saying? It is exactly that. We go, what they say, you go from glory to glory, right? I believe this, the same terminology, you know, glory to glory or season to season. I believe God works on us from season to season. He starts to deal with us when he knows we're ready for certain things to be dealt with. When my son passed away, I literally had to lock myself up, like as if I was doing a prison bed again, because of my violent nature. I immediately want to kill everybody that I thought was involved in his death, right? And the Lord clearly spoke to me and told me if I had did that, I would not be able to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And I will never be able to see my son again, essentially, because, you know, my son is with him. But the word that the Lord gave me directly was, if you do that, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so the Lord let me know because he knew what I was capable of doing. He knew that I was capable of killing each and every person that I thought did anything to set him up or to get him in a position that he had got involved in. If I did not have the Lord in a real way, I'm going to be honest with you guys, I would have killed them all. No doubt about it. I would have killed each and every person until I couldn't kill anymore, until they would end up killing me. Because the person that I lost, I loved more than myself. And I strived for him. I did everything for him. And, you know, I wanted him to see mommy did it, but in Christ. And I wanted that more than anything in this world. And so to lose someone that has so much value was it honestly broke me. Honestly broke me. And if it wasn't for the Lord, and this is where I give him all honor. If it wasn't for him being at that house with me, catching me when I dropped to my knees, I would not been here with you guys right now. Because there's just no way. I am definitely a person, if you do something to me, I'm going to definitely do something to you. And I'm a type of person, you may have did something a little, well, I'm coming back and I'm going to turn this place into Afghanistan. I have issues. You feel me? I have issues. And so there is no way that something like that can happen to me and me not respond. You feel me? And so that's the example. You see what I'm saying? Like, we all are working through something. Like, I told mommy friend today, I said, no disrespect, I don't care about your problems. I don't care about your pain. We all have pain. We all have problems. And it doesn't give that person or that other person a right to take that stuff out on us. We are all going through some level of suffering. And for Christians, it's not that easy. Be honest with you. You know, it's not. We go through more, especially kingdom Christians. Let me make sure I make sure I say that very clearly. Kingdom Christians go through the most. Oh, yeah, sis. Yes, baby. You know. You already know. Okay. And that's the thing. When we know, see, this is a beautiful thing. I love that what you and Sean and I have tonight. We have honesty tonight. We are real about our shortcomings. We're real about our weaknesses because we understand that that's not God. God is not judging us because of our weaknesses. He is judging us because we don't come to him about our weaknesses so that he can remove them or strengthen us, heal us, counsel us, deliver us, transform us, but he wants to do something with us about them. So we're not just out here being weak. You feel me? Being out here doing stuff that, you know, we have, like, some stuff, because it may be a demonic stronghold on your spirit, you really can't, it's really nothing you can really do about it, because you're going to need the deliverance from the Holy Spirit to deliver you from that demonic spirit. And you can't get deliverance from God unless you're getting the counselment of the Holy Spirit, what comes from being honest. You see what I'm saying? So it's really important to be honest with God, because how can you really be delivered from God if you're not honest with him. And so it's something for all of us to just think about. You feel what I'm saying? It's something for all of us, because honestly, to keep it real with you, I shared this last week too. I thought, if I live righteous and I do everything right, that, you know what, I would be spared from a lot of things, right? But obviously the last year, that ain't true. And the last 20 years too, I've been through some things in the last 20 years, but the last year has been unbelievable. Unbelievable. So if you know what I'm saying? So I say that to say that it rains on the righteous too. In fact, it pours down thunderstorm hurricanes on us. Okay, Kingdom Christians. So we need our God. We don't got time to be playing games with God. We don't got time to be playing no games with the Lord. We need to know when it's time for our death date to arrive. We know we're going to heaven. You feel me? You like, nah, Lord, I done been through enough hell on this side. I'm coming. You feel me? Jesus, I know my name is in that book. You feel what I'm saying? No. Oh, yes, Sean. God gives the hardest battles to the strongest soldiers. Yes, you know, I feel like, oh my gosh. I feel like he gave this battle to me because he knew I would keep my faith. I would keep my faith. I would keep my faith and I would keep my trust because I know him, not know him like, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I'm a human being. You know, I don't know God because he's God. You feel me? But my experience with him enough is that I can trust him. He's faithful. He will show up and he's loyal. Those are the experiences I have had with him in 20 years. He has never turned his back on me. He has never forsaken me. He has never left me. So no matter what I went through, I knew at the end of the day, he got me. No matter what it looked like, no matter how much pain I was experiencing, no matter what was going on, I said, I know, I remember saying this to him in California. I said, I know that you hear me. I said, I know that you know my voice and that you hear me. My voice may not matter to a lot of people, but my voice matters to you. And so I believe that with all my heart because I've experienced that, right? And so I can stand on that. But if I didn't have that experience, if I didn't have that intimacy with him, this situation in 2021 would have destroyed me. It would have destroyed me, guys. No doubt about it. You feel me? No way in the world I would have been able to handle it. And so that's why I'm saying, please, you know, who are we after church? I don't care who you are to the pastor. I don't care who you are to your worship team. I don't care who you are to the prayer team. Who are you to Jesus? Who are you to him? Are you the Christian, Kingdom Christian, or are you the Christian that possibly is not going to make it to heaven? It's like I said, it's your salvation. It's not mine's. It's not Sean's. It's not my sister Lillian's. It's yours. And I say that again because I really want you to understand, it's your salvation. Because as you see, me and my sister and Sean, we're doing the best we can. And because we're doing the best we can, we know God got us. Can you say that honestly when nobody's looking in front of the Lord? Because if you have ever truly experienced the presence of God, when you're in his presence, a shifting takes place in you because you are in the presence of God. This is not a human being. This is a spirit. This is a holy God. The way you talk, your mannerism, everything, your voice and everything will shift. It will change because your body and spirit knows this ain't no regular person. And so we got to make sure we don't be treating God like he regular, because he's not. And we got to stop doing all this bull crap. He loves us. He loves us. Yeah, he loves us. But it's a lot of people he loved who went to hell and who are still going to hell. And I don't care how good you was on the earth, what image you portrayed. Only God knows the darkness of your heart. I've seen a lot of fake people. I know we all have. They act like they're the mayor of their cities and towns, but at home, they are disgusting. They are despicable. The sins that are on their lives when nobody is watching is unreal. But you'll hear people on Facebook when they die saying they went to heaven, bless them for all the good works that they have done. Pretty much, you know, I'm paraphrasing it, but the Bible makes it very clear. It's not about good works that get you into heaven. You only come to the Father through the Son. So again, who are you after church? What real conversation have you had with Christ Jesus? The Bible makes it so clear. If you do not accept the Son, you won't see the Father. So make sure that we always have the right perspective and make sure that we don't have God as regular. Because God is not regular. Trust me when I tell you. When I was in Louisiana, okay, I confess, I'm a nut job when it comes to cleaning. But when it was time for me to worship, I would clean, even more than it was already clean, because I understood that I was in the presence of the Holy of Holies. I positioned the house to be immaculate and cleanse my heart before the Lord in prayer so that I would be able to worship without anything hindering me. And I'm telling you, man, the presence of God was strong in my home. It was the most strongest. That time in Louisiana was the most powerful time I had with the Lord. It was powerful. And you know why he accepted my worship? Not because I'm nobody special, because of the positioning of my heart. You see what I'm saying? Because of the position of my heart, I'm going to go out my way for the Lord. I'm not going to treat him like him, he regular, because he's not. And he is worthy, and he deserves the respect, and he deserves all the things that we need to do to prep for his presence, because he is holy, period. And because he's God, period. And your salvation is at stake. You see what I'm saying? You know, people want to preach all these fear messages. It's no sense of preaching a fear message. You already live in times that are so fearful, so wicked, so evil, so demonic. That's fearful enough. I think that we need to start to hear about what we need to do to make sure that our salvation is secure according to the Bible, not our feelings, opinions, and what mom and them said. You feel me? So I'm going to wrap it up because, you know, I went past my time. But I just wanted to just make sure that this message was one of those messages, like, I really want you guys to understand who you're dealing with and who you are. You know what I'm saying? It's so important to know who God is and how we treat him in the privacy of our lives when no one else is looking, because that's where it counts. And then who we are. And if we're a hot mess, we're a hot mess. It's all good. We just got to change. You feel me? We just got to be real with God and just keep it real. Keep it real with God by keeping it real with ourselves and move forward in him. You know what I'm saying? As long as you're real with God and you're moving forward with God, that's all that matters. And it's not about, you know, people always say, oh, I'm not perfect. I didn't read in the Bible you had to be perfect. He said that if you love me, you will obey me. That's all. You feel me? So, okay, guys, I will see you guys next Tuesday. Sean, Lillian, I love you guys. Please, please, please pray for my sister Lillian. Lillian, I hope you feel better. You know I'm going to hit you up to make sure you were good with the COVID and everything. And Sean, you're the best, bro. I appreciate you tons and tons and tons. God bless you both and many blessings to you guys. And if anybody has not received salvation, please email me at salvation@shakirarobministries.com. www.thebibleclub.org. And, you know, I'll be more than happy to pray the prayer with you. And, you know, God bless you. You know what I'm saying?